Hello, everyone. We are back with another episode of Straight and Narrow. On today's episode, I have a very enjoyable conversation with a guy named Nigel. He was very cool and a nice person to chat with. He was open and willing to consider the truths that we were talking about. Now, the audio for this interview isn't the best, so please bear with me on that. But I have no doubt that this gospel conversation will bless you.
First question is, if you could ask God a question, what would it be?
Interesting question. What's the purpose?
What's the purpose?
Yeah, okay. Like we're here.
Yeah.
We're born, we live, but, you know, why?
Yeah, yeah. The next question is, do you believe there's an afterlife?
I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah.
But yes, I do think, okay. I don't think this is it.
Right, okay.
So I would say yes.
Okay. Next question is, have you ever heard of the good person?
No.
No?
Okay.
Have you heard of the Ten Commandments before?
Of course.
All right, so Ten Commandments are like a perfect example of a mirror as people we can look at to tell we're good people.
Okay.
Because one of the main definitions for good is morally excellent. Mm-hmm. Right. So I'm just going to run through a couple of those, if that's cool.
Sure.
All right. So the first one is, have you ever told a lie?
Yeah.
Yes. Same here. Mm-hmm. And the second one is, have you ever stolen?
Yes.
And then the third one is, and this one really got me. So Jesus in the Bible, he said that you shouldn't commit adultery, right?
Yeah.
But he says, I say, even if you look at a woman to lust after her, so desire her sexually, you've committed adultery in your heart.
Mm.
Have you done that before? Have you looked at lust?
Yes.
Same. So if we're using that test, right, and God is judging, that like he judges all people, in the court of God's law, would you be considered innocent or guilty?
Definitely guilty.
Guilty. Okay, so therefore, as far as the afterlife is concerned, would it be heaven or hell?
Leaning to the latter.
Yeah, hey, I hear you.
Man. I ain't gonna lie.
I hear you. You know, even on this earth, in our, you know, justice system, our expectation is that the law is upheld. You know, so if you have someone that is like stolen there before a judge, and the judge, they're like, hey judge, you know, I stole this, but it wasn't really that big deal, you know, you kind of let me go. If he's a good judge, he's going to say, no, you got to pay the fine, or you got to pay the time for what you've done.
Of course.
You know, so God is a good judge, so he has to hold us to his standard.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also a loving God as well. Have you ever heard of the gospel before?
Just the gospel?
Mm-hmm. So, I don't think the gospel means good news.
Mm.
So, what the good news is that because God is loving, right, and because as humans we've sinned against God, it has to be a payment for it, he actually sent his son Jesus to live on the earth. 33 years, he lived a perfect, sinless life.
Mm.
And then he was murdered on a cross. But when he was on the cross, what he was doing was, he was paying our payment that we should have paid. So all the sin that you and I could ever do, Jesus took that upon himself. He took that punishment for us. And then he was buried, and then he rose again on the third day.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is, I kind of look at it like this. Let's say you're in a courtroom, right? And the judge is like, all right, you got this fine, you can't pay it, we got to take you to jail.
Mm-hmm.
Some guy comes in with a briefcase and says, judge, he doesn't know me, but I know him. And I got all the money that he needs right here, and he's free to go. How would you feel towards that person?
I would feel great, great, definitely,
absolutely, man.
Yeah.
You know, so the Bible tells us there's two things that we have to do in order to receive the gift of the gospel. First thing is we have to repent, and what that means is, you know, let's say I'm looking down the hallway of all the things that tempt me, whether that be lust, whether it be money.
Mm-hmm.
It's turning from those temptations and it's focusing and putting my trust in Jesus. The second thing is actually trusting Jesus, believing that he died on the cross. So then when I repent, I go to God and say, Lord, I recognize that I've sinned. Forgive me for my sin. And then I trust in Jesus like trusting the parachute. Let's say you're in a plane, it's going down, and you got to get out, and your idea is you're going to jump out and flap your arms and try to survive. Will that work?
No.
But if you put your trust in the parachute, you know that you're secure. So that's what it's like to put our trust in Jesus. We know because of what he's done for him, we can trust in what he did by dying on the cross. It's not in our own goodness, right? We can't trust in our own goodness. We've already proven to ourselves that we've broken 3 of the 10 commandments.
Exactly.
You know? But when we put our trust in Jesus and what he's done, then we can be secure in eternal life in heaven with God forever. Mm. And God promises that. So is there any reason or anything that would stop you from repenting or putting your trust in Jesus?
Just only thing that would stop me is, you know, that's a big decision to make. You know, I would, you know, I don't like to rush into things.
Yeah.
I grew up in a religious household.
Okay.
And I kind of got away from that as I got older. So I would have to do some critical thinking on my half, you know.
Yeah. Let me use the parachute example real quick again. So let's say now we're both on the plane. I'm like, all right, man, about to go down. I got my parachute on. Where are you going to put yours on? You're like, I got to do some more critical thinking. I'm not sure. You know, it's just an example.
I feel
we all know at some point we're going to die, right? We just don't know when that is. I mean, I could leave here today and get a car accident. That's the end. But we know that we're going to have to spend eternity somewhere, right? So when we think about our mortality, we think about, like, okay, we talk about, like, why we're here and what's the purpose. I mean, we can look around us and see that the creation that we see is pointing to a creator, is pointing to God, right? So if God is using his creation to prove that he exists, it's the same with us. And the greatest gift that has ever been given was the fact that Jesus died on the cross. So God loved us that much that he sent his son, you know? And one of my favorite scriptures, it talks about God. Once we do repent and cry out to God, he turns our heart to stone and to a heart of flesh. Mm. So what that means is that, you know, we're not going to be perfect, obviously. But as our relationship with Jesus starts to build, our hearts start to change. We become different. Mm. Recognize that we're sin. Recognize that we have to die at some point. And we want to spend eternity with Jesus forever.
I understand.
So if you don't mind, pray with you.
Sure.
Lord, I just thank you so much for Nigel. I thank you for this time that he's allowed us to talk with him. It seems like a really, really awesome guy, Lord. I just pray that you help him to see your faithfulness and your love towards him. We both recognize that both are sinners. We've done wrong against you, God, and there's a consequence for sin. But you're also loving, and you sent your son to die for us. Your son sacrificed his life for us on the cross, and we thank you, Jesus, for that. And I pray, Lord, that Nigel will recognize that, Lord, and his mind won't be focused on so much of a religion, but more of a relationship with you and desire to be with you forever in heaven. Be with him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
All right, man. Hey, I appreciate that.
I appreciate you, bro.
What I love about this conversation with Nigel was how willing he was to respond to my questions honestly. He didn't make up any excuses or try to dodge the good person test questions. He even recognized that he would be guilty before God because of his sin, and seeing that hell is the consequence for our sin. When someone responds honestly to the law of God, that can typically be a sign that the good news of the gospel will feel like good news, mainly because they see their sin in light of God's perfection, making the death of Jesus necessary. Without Jesus, we would be left in our sin and remain enemies of God. I also gave Nigel a little push when it came to really considering when he would get right with God. The truth is, no one knows when it would be their last opportunity to turn to Jesus. So it's okay to try and help someone see how important it is to consider the truth that they just have heard, and also the state of their eternity. I remember when Nigel mentioned that he grew up in a Christian household but got away from that life as he got older. That is what caused me to pray for him to not focus on religion, but on the true relationship that we can have with Jesus. And I have hope for Nigel, especially seeing how he responded to that prayer. So let's all pray that Nigel will choose Jesus to repent, trust, and believe in him. And remember to love your neighbor and share the gospel.